you know, if you're going to be a serious post-liberal, you need to become a Maoist. And of course, that fails as well, obviously. But, you know, I would like to see that degree of honesty from post-liberals. Say, okay, you want to really get rid of, you want to really get rid of the PMC? You're going back to the fields, buddy. And so am I, and so are you. Are you happy with this? Right? No, you're not. So
I thought
of that with some of these posts where for some reason it's always that video of the Gen Z boss in a mini thing. Where yes. Did you all do a video? I think you might have done an episode discussing that or something. But
no, we certainly did. Okay. I'm sorry, we are a more serious podcast.
No, but you might have
dedicated an episode to that. But we certainly have mentioned it. Yeah.
But I remember some video like after the stocks crashed with the tariffs, where there was some viral right wing post that was like, you know, an image of like the stocks crashing, and then an image of that still from that video, and it was like, you know, I'm totally fine with this if it destroys these people or something. Yeah, yeah. I did think here about like Mao and Pol Pot here, that, you know, sort of, we need to actually just like the true sort of radical MAGA program would be, no, we need to like bring society back to the Stone Age just to defang the, you know, or these sort of PMC,
yeah,
you know, girl boss tyrants.
I want Peak Hegseth tweeting, we're going to bomb ourselves back to the Stone Age.
Right, exactly.
Milan ou Tripoli, Vilnius ou Benghazi, Paris, Moscou, on fait le bunga, bunga.
Hello, it's Monday the 13th of April. This is the Bunga Cast Reading Club. The date is potentially an auspicious one, particularly for what we're about to be discussing. And we're going to be discussing, in a sort of way, liberalism and post-liberalism. Is today the some sort of landmark date in post-liberalism or post-post-liberalism, as Orban and his party have been routed in Hungarian elections, and this quite small Central European country, which has been the center of world affairs for a decade, or at least for politics podcasts like these, maybe now no longer is. Now it's back in the liberal technocratic fold. That's a potential misreading of the Hungarian election, a deliberate misreading of the Hungarian election, which we will get onto, I think, in a separate episode. So I'm not going to say any more about that. Actually, I will say hello. I'm Alex Hokuli in São Paulo, Brazil. Got George Hoare in London as usual. Hello, George.
Hey.
And for this special reading club, we have a guest in, Jeff Schulenberger, big friend of the pod. At least we consider him a friend of the pod. I don't know if Jeff considers himself a friend.
Don't put him on the spot like that.
He doesn't have to answer. Are you my friend? Look, we like you, Jeff. I don't know if you like us, but you're like, Jeff is...
I'm honored to be a friend of the pod.
Excellent.
Glad to make that official.
Okay, no, good, good. So Jeff Schulenberger, friend of the pod and managing editor at Compact Magazine, and a very intelligent fellow who are happy to be talking about post-liberalism. Now, you regular listener to the BungaCast Reading Club will know that we have five kind of central themes which are guiding our whole programming over the course of the year, and indeed potentially beyond. What we're going to be talking about here specifically touches on, I think, two different themes. One is irrationalism and unfreedom, which is our concern with the forms of counter-enlightenment thought today and what political forms they take, as well as political recombination. You know, what revolts are going on against the established order? What do the new ideologies emerging today look like? Are they thin ideologies? And I suspect the answer to that is yes. Just on thin ideologies, we talked about that, I think, in the first reading club of this year, which was on illiberalism. Today we're talking about post-liberalism, and we may get on to talking about why or how they relate to each other, which one's a good term, if we want to jettison one or the other, I don't know. But the point about illiberalism, or the argument advanced by the author of that piece, is that, you know, in a way, the world is populated by thin ideologies today, which don't really seek to provide answers across the board on social, political, economic, philosophical issues. In fact, they tend to be more constrained and more reactive. And this might be something useful to bear in mind as we go forward today. just one, well, I'm just going to introduce the pieces before we kind of get started and we all can discuss the pieces themselves. It's two essays that we're discussing today. The first is John Gray, Why I Am Not a Post-Liberal, which is from the New Statesman from October 2025. I thought this was, John Gray is always interesting, always self-contradictory, always very wrong. I mean, just to get my position on John Gray out of the way, self-contradictory often within the space of a few paragraphs, but nevertheless, he always is thought-provoking. And of course, as a former Thatcherite turned some sort of nihilist, turned post-liberal, turned now not post-liberal, and indeed Hobbesian liberal, as he describes himself in the essay, his sort of peripatetic course through the ideologies of the late 20th and early 21st century, I guess, is maybe interesting, instructive, worth discussing at any rate. John Gray, in this piece, just to set it up, he starts off by referring to Alistair MacIntyre, the philosopher, former Marxist, then Catholic, Aristotelian, etc. We're going to get onto that in a bit. But John Gray basically says, look, the world is a world of hyper-individualism, and that leads to this desire for self-realization, which leads to a need for meaning or belonging, which generates communitarianism. Now, John Gray, as a liberal, is against communitarianism. He's worried about identity politics generating kind of all these closed off little blocks in society. And instead, what we need is neither some sort of restoration of a past communitarian wholeness or integral communities. And what we need instead is a kind of strong Hobbesian state, which guarantees individuals' right to exist within the national space. Something like that. And Jeff and George can maybe correct my interpretation if they feel that I've misconstrued it. Now, why is this interesting? Well, because he starts off by referring to Alistair MacIntyre, who he had a meeting with, and characterizes MacIntyre's politics and philosophy in a particular way. And this, I thought, would be an opportunity to bring together with the John Gray piece an old Alistair MacIntyre piece, which is intriguing for the very obvious reason that it's called the end of history and the end of the end of history. That's obviously of interest to us. And it's especially interesting because it was published in 1971. It was actually reprinted by Church Life Journal, which is where I found it in May 2025. Of course, I'm an avid reader of Church Life Journal, yeah. Long-time subscriber, one-time editor of – I have no idea what the fuck this – I think it's published by Notre Dame University or something. Anyway, I'm not really sure what Church Life Journal is or what its interest in this essay is, other than the fact that MacIntyre was a Catholic. But it's interesting because, of course, he's talking about the end of history in 1971 and referring not to the Fukuyama 1990s end of history, but to the 1950s end of history, or as he talks about it, the end of ideology. Now, in our book, The End of History, we talk about this ourselves as one of the end of histories that have happened in the past, and that there was this big concern with political apathy in the 1950s. Indeed, one very similar, it seemed, to the concerns voice in the 1990s, and especially I think in the 2000s. So MacIntyre goes and looks at these end of ideology theorists from the 1950s, Daniel Bell,
Seymour Martin Lipset.
Yeah. I manage to always just do some weird combination. I get Lipset. I'm like, it's Martin, one of those Seymour, great Lipset, Lipset, Marcel Mus, Lipset. Yeah.
It's one of those great mid-century, you know.
Yeah.
Three-part tripartite names.
Yeah, you don't get them anymore.
I know. Just can't be like, you can't be a Zoomer named Seymour Martin Lipset. I mean, I don't think we are named Seymour anymore. Anyway, sorry.
Tripartite names have been just for serial killers nowadays. So it's kind of a good point. The brand has been broken.
Mm. George Hoare has a good piece on serial killers in Damage magazine from maybe a year ago, which listeners should check out. I can give a reference to that. It just reminded me of that. Anyway, so MacIntyre's critique, indeed, in along similar lines to ours, and in fact, when we wrote our book, I wasn't aware of this MacIntyre essay, but you know, basically goes, the post-ideology of the 1950s is itself an ideology, right? And the sort of anti-ideological 1950s birthed necessarily the kind of 1960s revolt, and it's the romantic revolt of the 1960s. Lots of stuff to dig into there, which we're going to come on to. So I'll stop talking and pass over to George.
Yeah, thanks. No, very, very helpful summary.